now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life. Everybody say the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the Spirit do mind the things... For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So I just want to just take a little bit of time here. Paul writing to us, and basically what he's telling us is that we are to walk in the Spirit and not walk after the flesh. You see, here's the thing. When we got saved, it was to get us away from that fleshly life. It was getting us away from a life that was taking us to hell. And so you and I have to understand that we were made free by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have to be real careful about then turning around and walking back toward a lot of the things that we came out of. See, one of the reasons a lot of folks mess up in church, and you hear, we call it backsliding, call it whatever you want to. They go back on the Lord. They go walk away from the church, walk away from the Lord, whatever you want to call it. One of the reasons they do that is because they fail to separate themselves from what had them bound before. Amen. They get back around. See, when you get born again, there are times if you're going to walk after the Spirit, you may have to ditch some friends. I know that's not pleasant to hear, but you may have to get away from some friends. Now, it is possible that if you get away from them and get strong in the Lord, get strong in the Word, that you might be able to be around them some. But if they have influence over you, you probably need to separate yourself from them. Amen. I know that's a hard pill to swallow, but it's the truth, because if we're going to stay free, we're going to have to stay Spirit-minded. We're going to have to walk after the Spirit. We can't be walking after the flesh. Amen. And I'll get into that a little bit more in a minute. But Paul wants us to see here that we have to make sure that we understand that we've been set free. Now, a lot of folks will just come up and they'll just tell you that there's no condemnation, you know. And they leave out the part there, because it goes on and says, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. See, they'll leave that "not after the flesh" place and not walking after the Spirit. They'll leave that out. They'll just say there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Well, there is some translations out there that does that. They just leave it out. But I'm going to tell you something. You go down and the Bible repeats it again. So I think if it's twice in there, it's pretty important. And the reason it's pretty important is because we have this fleshly nature here. Come on, we live in a fleshly body. And so for us to be spiritually minded and walk after the Spirit, we have to do that intentionally. Amen. God doesn't just make you walk after Him. That's something you have to desire to do, and that's something you have to train your body to do. See, your spirit man, it got renewed. Right? You became a new creature in Christ, but this body never got renewed. Right? God looks the same way, still has the same desires, you see? And so you have to understand that you are a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. So the spirit man is Lord of your life. And so you have to allow your spirit man to be Lord over your life. In other words, your spirit man has to tell your body what to do, not the other way around. For a lot of folks, they let their body tell them what to do, right? That's how we get in so much trouble, right? That's why we're not as healthy as we ought to be, right? It's not just concerning spiritual things. In our natural body, if we'd listen to our spirit man, most of us would be really healthy. I said us, right? Sometimes, you know, you just and it's bad to say this, but you just kind of ignore the Spirit when He's saying, no, don't do that. Right? Come on, don't eat that. Don't bother that. Don't do that. Don't use that. Come on. We ignore Him and do what the flesh wants to do. So Paul's letting us know, listen, if you want to stay free and stay in Christ, then you're going to have to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. So He's given us good warning here to let us know this. And because He goes on down there, notice there what He says in verse 6. He says, for to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded will kill you. Because it's going after the wrong things. Carnally means to be fleshly minded, okay? But He goes on and He says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Anybody want some life and peace? See, that means we need to be spiritually minded. We have to be careful. Look over here with me in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. It's not been long since we used this scripture, but I just want to show you this again here. Notice here that in 2 Peter chapter 2, we'll just jump down to 20. It's talking about false prophets and getting into those that pretend to be something that they're not, pretend to be Christians, and people follow them and even pretend to be leaders. In verse 20 it says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now here's what I want to bring out of that and show you. Notice that it says, after they've escaped the pollutions of the world. How many knows they got born again? That's the only way you can escape the pollutions of the world, to get Jesus Christ into your life, right? You're translated out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of light. Now notice here, it says that after they've escaped that, if they get entangled therein again. Now, or again, they're tangled. Here's what I want to say to this. The first time you were born with a sin nature, you automatically started sinning. Nobody had to teach you how to sin. Right? Come by, nobody had to teach you how to lie. Or any, it was in your nature because of the sin nature that was in the world through the fall. So you just, that was an automatic for you. That's why you needed to be born again. That's why we needed the Savior. Jesus Christ was the only one that could deliver us from that. Now, once you get born again, the next time is your fault. Just got real quiet. You were born into sin the first time. The second time you get entangled therein again, that's on you. It's because of the way you've walked and the things that you've got entangled with. Notice it said you get entangled and overcome. It's who you've been walking with, what you've been walking with, what you've been saying, what you've been doing, where you've been hanging out. The things that bring about the things of the flesh to bring you back into bondage again. In other words, you've made some bad decisions. I know we don't want to admit it, but it's the truth anyway. Not always does it happen fast. Sometimes it's a slow. There's a song out there called It's a Slow Fade, and it's kind of true. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a day. But it's a slow process of you being in the wrong places with the wrong people, saying the wrong things, doing the wrong things, staying out of church. Come on, stand out of church. The first time you miss church after you've been used to going to church, it just tears you up. You're just so uncomfortable. You just feel, man, I miss church. Then as you miss church, it gets just a little bit easier. You know what's happening? You're slowly conditioning yourself. Now your body's starting to win out over your spirit man now. Because that first time, that was the spirit man, and he was jumping at you. You know, you can't be missing church. Don't, you know, that's not worth missing church for. But then your body just slowed you. You know, y'all just lay in bed today. You worked hard all week. You ain't had no days off. You ought to just rest today. See, it doesn't sound like a bad thing, but it kept you out of church. And that's exactly what your flesh wanted to do. That's what the carnal thinking, the carnal mind does. That's why it's death. Because it slowly kills you, because it slowly works you away from the Spirit of God and gets you back over caught up into bondage again. So we have to understand that. Notice that it says if they get tangled again, they're worse than they were in the beginning. They'd been better not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and turned away from it. Why is that? Well, I've been there. I can speak. Is it all right if I give you a little experience here? When I got saved again, I didn't know I was lost till I heard the preachers preaching. I didn't know anything about salvation, and so I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. But when I backslid, you see, what I did was just slowly got back to doing things that I'd done before. Some of it was beginning to miss church because I wanted to go fishing because I missed. Nothing wrong with it. How many knows that fishing's not a sin? But when it starts taking you out of the church, now you're out for a slow kill. Because you'll convince yourself, well, it's okay because I don't have any time off anyway. I need this because I don't get any time off. And you just slowly, you get to that place and the first thing you know, man, you're out there in the world again. Now, the reason it says that you're worse is because when I started thinking about coming back to the Lord, coming back to church, the enemy immediately had all kinds of ammunition to use against me. He said, well, the Lord don't want you back. The people in the church gonna laugh at you when you come back. I mean, he'll tell you all kinds of lies. They'll make fun of you. You're too uncomfortable. Yeah, you should just not even go. But you see, I found out that was all lies from the enemy, trying to convince me not to go back and give myself back to the Lord. But I found out that when I did, the people welcomed me in. The Holy Spirit was right there. God welcomed me right back into the family, and the church welcomed me right back into the church. It was all lies of the devil to try to keep me away. See, that didn't happen the first time because I didn't know any better. Right? See, some of you are still looking at me funny. Don't ever say you never will. I'm just telling you. Because we've got to be careful about the sin that does so easily beset us. Amen. So we have to make sure, and what happened to me is I was not walking after the Spirit. I started walking after the flesh. First thing you know, I was in the flesh. I was in trouble. If Jesus would have come and got the church, I'd have been left. Now you can think what you want, but I wasn't serving the Lord. It wasn't that I didn't believe in Him. I just wouldn't serve Him. I wasn't doing anything to please Him. I was doing nothing except what I wanted to do, what my flesh wanted to do. And that's what a lot of folks are doing today.
Amen.
Come on, you can call it hypocritical. That's fine. I was a hypocrite. Because when I got around church folks, I'd talk about church. When I got around other folks, I'd talk about what they was talking about. See, I tell off on me. I won't tell off on you, but some of you are doing the same thing right now. You don't like to admit it, but it's the truth. Wow, it's got quiet this morning. I'm talking about getting set free now. I'm not trying to put you under any bondage, but I just want you to see that you have been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to stay free, then what you do is you walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, because you can get in trouble. Because you can get entangled again. You can get in trouble again. You know, we're talking about, we're celebrating the 4th of July weekend and stuff. And so I started thinking about this as I was doing the message, because I wanted to bring some of it in. But, you know, when we look at our country, we understand that it was formed really to escape, you know, government overreach and religious oppressions, we wanted to have freedom of worship and not be told how to worship. And so when the pilgrims came across, when this country was formed, it was formed under those kind of intentions. When the Constitution was penned, they penned it with those same kinds of intentions. But you see, as time has went on, now we've been, you know, over 200 years, and everything has been just great. And all of a sudden, now there's a problem. It's not a problem with the Constitution. There's nothing wrong with the Constitution. Still stands strong just like it is. The problem is, people are trying to put us right back under what we escaped to form this country for. They're trying to tell us how we can worship. Right? Come on, the way we should worship. Trying to tell us what we should say and what we shouldn't say. I mean, you know, some right down stupid stuff. You know. It's true. You know, instead of calling somebody a mother, call them a birthing parent. I mean, that's even hard to say for me. I mean, you know, stupid stuff. Not be wanting to call he, she. Well, you know, I guess some of them we have to call it. I don't know. But see how dumb it is. But see, that's all to try to bring you back into a place where they've got you held over. And they've got you in a place of bondage. You see, so if we want to stay free, you and I are going to have to fight for our freedom even in our country. You can't just sit back with your head stuck in the sand and say it'll be all right. Because there are folks out there that do not want it to be all right. They want to destroy our country because they hate the United States of America. And most of it's because everybody has a voice. And they don't want everybody to have a voice. They want to tell you what you can do and not have you tell them. See, our government's already kind of backwards because those folks that are in the offices there, they're supposed to be a voice for us. They're supposed to be speaking what we speak to them, but instead, they're telling us what to speak. They've got their own agenda. It's not government for the people, by the people anymore. And it's all messed up in politics and all that junk. I mean, they're just all... See, so you have to be careful now. Once we understand that we are a free country, just like with our salvation, we have to be careful that we don't start doing things that gets us entangled again into the same kind of bondage that we came out of. Same way with your Christianity. You have to be careful to make sure that you're doing what the Word says and you're obeying the Word versus what somebody else is telling you. Come on. The Word, just like our Constitution stands, the Word will forever stand. And we have to do what the Word of God says. And so we when you see that, it's an example because, you know, the people are doing it to themselves. They're getting caught up in all this junk. You know, they're trying to get back in a lot of the stuff they came out of, and they're getting messed up. They're getting themselves in trouble by going against what the Word of God says. They're getting themselves in trouble by going against common sense. I got a few amens. Common sense. A man is a man. That's common sense. A woman is a woman. That's common sense. Come on now. You know, you can't... Don't let somebody sway you and get you kind of... You know, well, what if they want? It don't matter what they want to be. It's what they are. Right? Come on, see. You know, I mean, has anybody seen the little commercial on Facebook where the devil's at the gates of heaven and he's saying, I identify as an angel? And St. Peter's there and says, that don't work up here, bub. You know, and it shouldn't work down here either. Come on. So we have to watch. We have to make sure that we're not getting tangled in. We have to make sure that we stay in the kingdom of God, stay tied to the Word, stay walking in the Spirit. Now, John 8:36 says this: If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But you see, it's up to us to walk in that freedom. Amen. See, I use this for a little illustration because, you know, after a prisoner has been released back into society, if he doesn't integrate himself back into society, there's a high percentage that he's going to end right back up in prison. A very high percentage. Matter of fact, I was talking with a guy the other day. We were talking about a particular guy that we knew who's been in prison a lot. He gets out of prison, he gets right back in prison. He gets out of prison, he gets right back in prison. And the guy really, really likes him and is close to him. And he asked him, he said, "Why in the world do you keep doing that? Why do you keep doing stuff to get you back in prison?" You know what he said? "Prison life's the only life I know." You see, it's because he did not integrate himself back into society, get involved, and start making himself a blessing in society rather than going against society, stealing whatever it was it did that caused him to end up in prison. You see, you know, let me just show you something, though. If a person gets born again, gives their life to Jesus Christ, if they don't integrate themselves into the body of Christ, get involved with the church, get involved with other Christian people, there's a good chance that they're going to backslide. Now, before anybody says anything, I understand that when we get born again, we're placed into the body of Christ. But again, if you don't get involved, if you separate yourself, if you ostracize yourself, then there's a good chance that you'll backslide. Because we all need that companionship. We need that fellowship. The Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. So we need one another. And what happens to you is if you end up then putting yourself out there by yourself, you're given the devil opportunity to catch you and get you in trouble. Every one of us ought to be accountable to somebody. Amen. I know we don't like that, but every one of us need to have a spiritual authority over us according to the Word of God. Amen. I'm a pastor and I have a pastor who's over me in spiritual authority. I'm accountable. You see, you ought to be the same thing. You're accountable to me. I'm your pastor. You're accountable to this church. And then you make yourself accountable to friends that'll watch you and see, because every one of us is capable of making a mistake. And it's good to have friends that'll look at you and tell you the truth. You're making a mistake. You're getting out of the spirit and getting over here into your flesh. You need to quit thinking those thoughts and get back over here and get lined up with the Word of God and start walking in the spirit again and not in the flesh. And see, that's why we have to understand that. If not, we just end up in trouble. Notice, to be carnally minded is death. It absolutely will destroy you when you allow the body, the flesh, the carnal mind to get a hold of you and lead you away from the Spirit of God. Eventually, it's going to end up to the place to where, you know, you're going to get into that to where you're not even going to want the Spirit anymore. The Bible talks about, Jesus said, "My spirit's not always going to strive with man." And so we've got to understand that. We need to make sure that we are integrating ourselves. We're getting ourselves involved. We're taking an active place. And that's how we stay strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. We're fellowshipping with one another, and we're understanding that we help each other. You help me. I want you to know that. When I see you coming to church, it helps me. It builds me up not because I'm pastor, just because I see that we are a bunch of mighty believers coming together. And we're believing the same thing, believing the Word of God. And we're building up the kingdom of God. And it actually hurts when folks don't come, because you realize they're on a wrong track. And if they're not careful, they'll get in trouble. You have to guard your freedom. Whether it's in the natural, in our country, or where we're talking about spiritual freedom here. The Son's made you free, so you're free indeed. But you have to guard that. Look over here in Proverbs. Let me give you a scripture for that. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Notice that. Keep your heart with all diligent. For out of it are the issues of life. Now you could say it like this, guard your heart. Guard your spirit. Because out of it are the issues of life. In other words, you know, when you start thinking about whatever's in your heart is eventually going to come out of you. Amen. Whether you like that or not, whatever's in your heart is going to eventually come out of you. So you have to be careful what you allow in your heart. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. Guard that freedom. Guard the Spirit of God that's in you. And it says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eye look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Notice that's all choices that you have to make. Ponder your feet. Well, why? What's he talking? He's talking about before you make a step, before you do anything, ponder that. Think on that. Meditate on that. See if God gets any glory out of it or not. See if it's something going to get you in trouble. See if it's the right way for you to go or the wrong way for you to go. You have to guard yourself. Your flesh will just go, and you can't go just because everybody else is. Right. Well, then, you know, they're Christians and they go. That. How do you know? Because if you see where they're going is not a Christian place, I don't care if they say they are Christians. They're probably backslid. And if you keep hanging with them, you'll end up there too. So you have to obey God, not other people. I'm just going to give this to you, and it's been a little while since I've read it, but do you remember when God sent the prophet down, and I don't even remember to the town, but he went in and he prophesied against the altar, and he tore it down, and he left out of there, and God had told him, he said, you go down there, you prophesy, and you go out of there, you don't talk to anybody, you don't stop anywhere, you come straight back. And so he does that, and somebody invites him, won't you come over to my house, you know, and he says, no, I can't do that because God told me not to, you know. And so there's an old prophet there, and he goes to the young prophet, and he says, you know, I want you to come over to my house. And the young prophet says, no, I can't because God's told me not to stop, not to eat anywhere. I've got to go straight back. And the old prophet says, well, I'm a prophet too. And the Lord told me for you to tell you to come over to my house. And so when the young prophet went to the old prophet's house, they're sitting there eating, and the Spirit of God comes on the old prophet, and he tells the young prophet then, because it's God speaking through him, because you didn't obey me, you're going to die. And he was killed on the way back to his home. Just because somebody tells you're a Christian, that old prophet said, I'm a prophet. And he wouldn't lie, and he was a prophet. But he was a prophet that was deceitful. Because he lied to the young prophet to get him to come to his house. You have to be careful because deceitful people will try to get you to do things because they're doing them. And if you won't do them, then it makes them feel guilty. So they'll try to get you to do it to justify that they're doing it. Why, it's very careful. Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Make sure what you're doing is lined up from the Word of God. I don't care who else is doing it. You know, I mean, I'm not going to be part of a service that I don't feel like God's in. Amen. I don't want to be part of a service that's man-made and the things they're doing that's man-made. You know, I'm not going to be part of a service that's playing with snakes. I'm sorry, you can get mad at me about that if you want to. I don't need to test my faith with the snake. That's right. I have the Word of God, and I build my faith up with the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, not by kissing the snake. I don't know where that came from, but maybe some of you need a little help with that. You know, when it talks about us treading upon serpents, you know, and scorpions, it's talking about demonic spirits there. And if you drink any deadly thing, that word thing in your concordance, if you look, you've got to get an old one because they keep changing things. My old concordance that I got when I started back when I first preaching renders the word thing, if you drink any deadly thing, it renders it as the Greek word logos. The Greek word logos is word. So what it's actually saying, if you drink any deadly words, translated is, if you hear things that are deadly to you or poison to you, then if you know the truth, it's not going to hurt you. You see? And that's what he was saying in that. But, you know, people take it all kinds of crazy ways. But you've got to study the Word. You can't just read and come up with your own interpretation. Look. Get in the Greek. Get in other translations. Find out what it means before you start running off and starting a religion on it. And that's what a lot of folks do. They just run off and start this or start that. You have to make sure that what you're doing is backed by the Word of God, and that you're walking in the Spirit, not walking in the flesh, and that you're worshiping the true God and not some man-made God. Amen. You know, there's a lot of churches in our country today that are based upon man's religion and not God's religion. They're based on the Word of man, not the Word of God, because they take out the parts of the Word of God that they don't like, that goes against what they believe, and they still teach the doctrine. So we have to be careful about those things. That's why it's so important not to get entangled therein again. We have to make sure, does this line up with the Word of God? If I'm preaching something to you and you don't think it's in the Word of God, or you don't think it's right, I'm wide open. Come, let's talk. We'll reason together, we'll look in the Word of God, and if I'm wrong, I'll apologize, and I'll apologize to everybody in the congregation. Now, I can miss it. I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means, but I do my best to make sure that we stay well grounded in the Word of God and don't drift away from that and get over into other things. A lot of folks, for a little excitement in church, will bend things. I don't want to sugarcoat. I don't want to bend things. I want to make sure when the Spirit of God moves, we move with the Spirit of God, and it's original. It's real. And God gets glory out of it, and you get blessed for it. Amen. So we have to guard that. Now, I just mentioned this a few minutes ago, but I want to give you scripture because, you know, if you all got real quiet on me. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look at verse 33. It says, be not deceived. How many knows being deceived means that you're being tricked, right? Don't be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, and if you're just reading, like we would normally read communications, you think, well, you need to be careful about your mouth, what you say, the way you talk and stuff. That's hard on your manners. But see, that's not what it says. Let me give it to you in the Amplified Bible. It says, do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, associations, corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. It's not talking about evil speaking. It's talking about evil people that you hang around. Evil companions. Or I could say it like this, ungodly people. Ungodly companions. Notice it says that it can corrupt your good morals. Your good manners. In other words, again, you got to watch who you're hanging with. Because they can have an influence on you. I'll give this to you, and you can think of a time, and you may catch yourself doing it. If you hang around somebody, they don't have to necessarily, I'm not talking about somebody being bad all the time, but you've got a friend and you hang around them very much. If they've got like a little byword, if you're not careful, you'll catch yourself saying the same byword. I'm not talking about an ugly word or anything like that, but they'll just say something. You know, I'll give you a little example. Brother Damon, for a little while, hope that's all right, Damon, for a while, when he first started coming, he'd start saying, stay with it. Stay with it. When I was preaching, he'd say, stay with it. You know what? There were several and the people started saying, stay with it. Charles still says it sometimes. Stay with it. And you know, there's nothing wrong. I'm just saying, when you hang around people and you're around them, a lot of times you start saying things they say. So what happens if you're hanging around the wrong people? You'll start saying and doing things that they were doing. and you don't even think about it because it just happens. So that's why the Bible gives us warning, you know, be careful who you're hanging around. Make sure that you're not hanging around something that's ungodly, that's going to cause you to be ungodly, that's going to cause you to walk in the flesh and not walk in the Spirit. And so as we talk about this, I want us to just understand that we just need to stay free. We need to stay free of the world, free of the things the enemy's trying to do, and make sure that we stay in the Word and walk in the Spirit. Now, I said it earlier, you know, that freedom costs somebody something. And I want to say it again. Freedom does not come without a cost. A lot of people take it very lightly, even the freedom in our country. But here's the thing. Our freedom is built upon the blood of men and women that gave their life so that we could have it. And it just blows my mind and angers me when I see people that don't respect our veterans, people that don't respect those that have fought for our freedoms. You know, people even say stupid stuff like this. Well, they get what they deserve. They shouldn't have went over there. Well, the only reason you've got to say that's because they had the right to say that's because they went over there. You know, so we have to understand that there was a great price paid for our freedom. We should never take that lightly. We, again, greatest country in the world because of that. But also, on the spiritual side, we have to understand that our Christianity, our salvation, cost the Lord Jesus Christ His life. He shed His blood for every one of us, so that we could be free from sin and death. Isn't that good news? So we can never take that lightly, church. A lot of folks are just, they don't even think about it. They're not thinking how the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, gave His life so that we could be set free spiritually. So that there'd be no condemnation. So that we could have freedom through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they don't take advantage of it. And some of them snarl their nose at it. I want you to be careful. If you're born again, make sure you're not taking it lightly. Understand what it means to be a child of God. See, I really believe that the folks in the world that don't understand what it's like to have a free country just don't understand freedom at all. They don't understand what they have. There's an old song, kind of went back from my younger days, and the song said, "You don't know what you got till it's gone." And there couldn't be anything any truer than that song. Because after it's gone, it's too late. We found that out with Roe versus Wade. We found out what happened. You see, people thought, well, that's no big deal, no prayer in school. But look what it's led to. So we have to make sure that we're careful, that we're keeping ourselves free in the Word of God, free in the Spirit of God, and we're keeping ourselves separated from the things that would pull us back into bondage. That's the will of the Lord for His church, is for us to stand up and be the church, and for us to be the ones that are changing what's going on, not being changed by what's going on. God wants you and I orchestrating the things that ought to be going on. God wants us to stand up and be the church, be His children, be those that bring the will of God to this earth. And if we'll stay in the Spirit and not get over in the flesh, God can use us to do that. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Thank you, Father. Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We